European leaders shy away from their threat of vaccine export restrictions. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. A diplomatic feud between the European Union and Britain over COVID-19 vaccine supplies has been simmering for months. A plan to implement vaccine export controls from the bloc was backed in principle during an online leader summit this week, but several EU member states raised concerns about what impact such restrictions could have on global vaccine supply chains. So European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen instead issued a warning to one company that's been caught in the middle of the fight, AstraZeneca. She said it must catch up with promised deliveries to the EU before exporting doses to other nations. The British-Swedish drug maker has denied its failing to honor its contract with the EU. The ongoing row, though, has shown a bright light on the often complex drug-making supply chain. Though Britain is a major importer of vaccines from the EU, it has a so-called fill and finish center in Wales, where AstraZeneca vaccine doses are packed up into vials before they're shipped off to clinics. The BBC's Jane McCubbin got the world's very first look inside the facility.
Thank you, guys. Keep it up.
This is the Wockhardt plant. And here they take active ingredients from labs in Oxford and turn it into a vaccine ready for arms. It's known as the fill and finish process, and Carl Jones is one of the newest recruits.
Yes, so I started back in January this year just to get the vaccine out. So I'm here solely to save the world. There is an entertainment.
They are the only UK company with a government contract to bottle up any vaccine they send their way.
There's a massive weight of responsibility because obviously we're producing the AstraZeneca vaccine for UK distribution.
That's Chris Wright, Wockhardt's chief engineer.
So we know without us, there's people not receiving vaccination against COVID.
These guys have the capability to get out 120,000 doses every hour, but the pressure's constantly on to make it faster and more efficient.
Certainly as time went by, I started realizing that this could be a huge moment in one's life to make such a big difference to a pandemic which has almost stopped the world.
That's the MD, Ravi Limai, who, like all of his 400 staff here in Wrexham, is immensely proud. And every jab is making a difference. The UK's COVID vaccines have helped cut hospital admissions by around 90% already.
That's the BBC's Jane McCubbin reporting from Wales there. Checking the numbers now, global stocks are higher today as oil and mining shares lead gains on the Pan-European Stock 600 Index. Oil prices are rising about 2% as investors are continuing to monitor the situation in Egypt's Suez Canal. That's where salvage experts have warned the Ever Given vessel lodged in the canal's banks for the last 3 days could block traffic there for weeks. Lloyd's List, a maritime shipping journal, estimates trade worth $400 million an hour is being held up. Investors worry that could eventually begin to crimp global supply of commodities, including oil and gas. In the U.S., it's past presidents who mostly adorn our paper currency. But here in England and Wales, it's Queen Elizabeth's silhouette who features on the front of each bill and coin. But this week, it's the back of the 50-pound note that's getting all the attention for its recent facelift. One of England's most influential codebreakers, Alan Turing, is being honored on one of the country's most secure banknotes for his work during World War II. The BBC's Kevin Peachey has that story.
It wasn't just his code-breaking that made him a worthy choice. Alan Turing's brilliance in mathematics not only laid the foundation for computer science, he foresaw the artificial intelligence being developed today. He was also gay, at a time when homosexuality was illegal in Britain and treated appallingly as a result. Alan's nephew, Sir Dermot Turing, says his uncle will be pleased that inclusion is now much discussed.
I think Alan Turing would have wanted us to think about things like underrepresentation of women in science subjects, underrepresentation of black ethnic minority kids in STEM subjects at school.
At the launch, the rainbow flag was flying above the Bank of England to celebrate diversity. But is it enough? And could Governor Andrew Bailey see someone from a diverse ethnic background on the next note?
I definitely hope that one of our next banknotes will obviously feature somebody from an ethnic background. But I do want to emphasise, of course, that Alan Turing in his own right is a very strong recognition of diversity.
The new £50 note is the largest denomination in England, but the rising cost of living may see them become more relevant. assuming digital currencies don't take over. That technology would have fascinated Alan Turing, and Britain's government intelligence agency, GCHQ, where he spent much of his career, is honouring this new bill with a series of puzzles. Colin, the chief puzzler at the agency, explains why. Just so you know, we're not allowed to reveal his full identity.
We have deliberately made the puzzles as varied as possible. So there's word puzzles, number puzzles and visual puzzles. And to finish the challenge, you need to solve the first 11 puzzles, which get increasingly harder. And then you use those answers to complete the 12th puzzle, which involves an Enigma machine simulator.
The new bill is the last of the Bank of England's collection to switch from paper to polymer. It will enter circulation on the 23rd of June to mark Alan Turing's birthday. In London, I'm the BBC's Kevin Peachey for Marketplace.
Well, if, unlike me, you're good at brain teasers, you can try your hand at GCHQ's Turing Puzzles. Find me on Twitter, I'm at Victoria Craig, and there you can find a link to the challenge. Don't forget, let me know if you manage to break the code. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.